Now we come to the gospel. And it's the gospel of Luke. And he's telling us about the ministry of John the Baptist. Now you remember that St. Luke has a very special sensitivity to the poor. He always accents that aspect of our Lord's teaching. And he's going to do it here again. So we're getting ready for Christmas, okay? So if we go ask John the Baptist, what should we do? He's going to say, run off to the department stores and get the best deal you can on all these presents, and then you're all set, and everybody will be happy. Think that's what he says? He's fine for us giving presents. Well, we'll listen to what he has to say. I'm going to start with a little bit earlier than our texts, okay? If he didn't love, if he wasn't so honest and courageous, the people would have hated him. But they knew he was right. You see, and that's part of a culture. He said these same things in a pagan culture. What do you mean give away stuff to the poor? I mean, let them find it for themselves. Which is what we act like pagans a lot by doing. But in Israel, even if they don't do it, they know they should. So there's a difference. And that's what how faith becomes culture, as we've been talking. Okay? So, he said therefore to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to fly from the retribution that is coming? That's not the way to win friends and influence people, is it? But it's the way to set them free from darkness. You see? But if you are repentant, produce the appropriate fruits. And do not think of telling yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. Because I tell you, God can raise children for Abraham from these stones. He doesn't need you to have children of Abraham. He needs you to be righteous. You see, I'm a Catholic. So what? Do you live it? Do you practice it? Do you care for the poor? Do you love your family? Do you have enemies? Forgive them. I'm a Catholic. Well, okay. Now try to really be one. Okay. God can raise children from Abraham, from these stones. Yes, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, so that any tree which fails to produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown on the fire. Well, the regular people got shaken because they're sensitive. And they knew this guy was right. Because it's the word of the Lord coming from him. And there he is. He's dressed in a camel's hair skin. He fasts all the time. He's been living in the desert. And you could tell he's a holy man. What is he getting out of this? Standing there calling us a brood of vipers. What's he getting except people mad at him? Why is he doing that? Love. Love. He shares God's love for these people, and he wants to get them ready, and he's the one coming to prepare them. So what must we do then? He answered, and that's when we have our text for the day, you see. So what should we do? Now, I was Bible to Jerusalem. We'll read part of that now in the NAB, which we'll have at the liturgy. Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. That's too vague, you know? But, okay. Share with the man who has none. Okay. And whoever has food should do likewise. What are we supposed to do to get holy? Care for the poor. You're walking around, you got a suit, you got another one home, and this guy, he's got nothing. Care for the poor. But care for the poor. We have a movement, it's communism, that I will organize everything. And I will care for the poor. But look, unless you're a saint, you're not going to do that. All the leaders in Russia owned 5 and 6 villas. They had help. They had cars. And the people are standing in line before the stores, hoping to get a little bit of food. That's selfishness and bad management. That's the great utopia of the poor, for which Mao Zedong killed 100 million of his own people. Out of my way, I'm going to make a new world. New world for whom? He wasn't hungry, but his people were. It never works, my friends. It never works. I don't care who you are or how, you know, generous you sound, you're making millions, and the poor aren't. And they're going to be dependent on you, and that's what you want. Because if they're dependent on you, they'll always vote for you, and you can stay in power, and you can keep on making money and going on vacations, and, you know, and he's saying, no, if you want to listen to what the Lord is saying, then what do you got to do? You see? Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person. Well, what if you got 50 cloaks? You know, you only got two. And he says, give one of those away. Most people listening to this tape have got more than two cloaks. I can still remember the time my community here gave me a beautiful leather jacket. And I really wanted one. And so I had this jacket, and it was in my closet for months. I wore it once in a while. And one day the Lord said to me, I want you to give away your jacket. I said, which one? I knew which one he meant. But I said, which one? You know? He said, that leather one there. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, okay. So I got up. I took the jacket. And the parish church is right across the street where there's a big container for the St. Vincent de Paul people. I went and I put the jacket in that thing, closed the door, and came back. I didn't need that jacket. Somebody else could use it. And so I gave it away. And I wasn't sorry. Once I made up my mind to do it, I was happy. You see? But when I hear lines like this, I think of my dialogue with the Lord. What about giving the old one away? I'll keep the new one. No, you give the new one away. Keep the old one. Okay. So then the tax collectors came. Tax collectors, you see, they're assessed. You got to get $3 million out of this town. Okay. So then he calculates $5 million. Three for them and two for me. Three for the government, the Romans in this case, and two or one for me. You see, they're crooks. That's besides being oppressors, they're crooks. That's why nobody likes them. But Jesus is preaching hope to them. They know they're in trouble. Look at that tax collector at the back of the temple. And the other guy up at the front is saying, I'm so happy, I'm so holy, and I fast. And the other guy is way in the back of the church saying, man, I'm in a bind. I lie, I cheat, I got no friends. And I'm immoral in what I do and the way I do it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. By that act, Jesus says, he went home justified. It's that simple. But that's a real conversion. So here, two cloaks share, and whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They saw hope. This great holy prophet coming out of the desert, but he's not, he's telling us how bad we are, but he's telling it with love. So they're encouraged. They come. Teacher, what should we do? He said, stop collecting more than what is prescribed. He knows exactly what's wrong with them, right? Soldiers also came and asked him, and what is it that we should do? He told them, do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anybody and be satisfied with your wages. Treat others justly. That's it. So now the people were filled with expectation. They all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now let's think about that text for a minute. John knew that he was preparing for the definitive coming of God among his people. And he was going to come in a man. I don't know how he, you know, except being mystically enlightened, you know, he's coming in a man. Well, if you look carefully at the Old Testament, one of the images, a lot, that describe that time that God is going to act definitively for his own people and through his people for the whole human race. And the metaphor for that is pour out the Spirit. Or you can find it. Look in a concordance under pour, or just look. Huh? It's in Joel, which Peter reads on the Feast of Pentecost, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. It's in Ezekiel 36 and around. It's in Jeremiah, I'll pour my Spirit into your heart. And so many texts. So what he's saying is, I'm baptizing you in this ritual by which you are acknowledging your sins, having a conversion, starting to take care of the poor. That's all good stuff. But there's one coming who's going to complete the work of God. And you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will take over your life. As God has promised over and over again, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Well, I'm the instrument preparing the way, so I'm symbolically pouring this water over you, and you, your sins are forgiven, but there's more. He will come and pour his Holy Spirit right into your spirit. And that'll be the fruit of his own death and resurrection, which John doesn't talk about here. You see? But I am not worthy to loosen the tongues of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Purification. See, baptism in the Spirit isn't just whoop-de-doo, I'm praying in tongues. It's a profound conversion, a giving of your whole life to the Lord in humility and repentance and starting to care for the poor. That's what it's all about. And I don't mean just write a check for the United Way or whatever it's called. I mean care of the poor. John Paul II has this beautiful phrase, you see, mercy looks to the need. Compassion looks to the person. Who is in need? Do I treat him as a person? See? Okay. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff, this was another Old Testament image, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting him in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. Now, why do we read that on this third Sunday of Advent? Because the church is saying, last chance, folks, to have a conversion before Christ is present among us in a new way. Have you helped the poor? Have you given stuff away? Have you done anything? Get ready, folks. This is not a game. The Lord Christ is coming in a new way, and here's the advice. Give away your leather jacket. Do something, because it's for real. Liturgy is not a theater play. It's in the very guts of a believer. And so that's what's being told us. Get ready to receive and enjoy the Messiah. Come again in a new way into the heart of the church and into the heart of the believers. But to the degree that the believers have gotten ready, which doesn't mean just having an Advent party or buying socks for Uncle Joe. It means repenting for your sin and looking after the poor. Amen.